Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm your host, Delia Farquharson, and yeah, it is my pleasure to be here this evening. In my note, I said that the polar vortex is coming back. Today was a beautiful day, however. So I'm delighted to have a special guest for our discussion this evening, and it's the Reverend Moraine, who's a young, dynamic preacher at Unity Baptist Church. I've attended that church on many occasions myself, and I always leave feeling uplifted and blessed. So we're really pleased to have him here with us this evening. Before we get started, however, it's my pleasure to welcome my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hello, Delia.
So, Raymond, yeah, we have a really awesome minister who's going to be joining us, in a few minutes, and he's written a new book. So, you know, the conversation this evening, I really want to commit all of the show to Reverend Moraine. Remember, you can call in live to participate in the discussion, and the number to call in is 619-639-4621. I'm going to say good evening, Reverend Moraine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good evening to you, Dahlia and Raymond.
Yes,
good
Raymond.
Evening to both
good
of you.
Sir.
How
good
are
you?
To you?
All is well. Can't complain. God is good.
Wonderful, wonderful. So thank you for being our guest this evening. And I'll give you a few minutes to, a little bit about you, but I'll give you an opportunity to kind of speak to the audience about who you are and tell them about your great church and the great work that you do in this community. Go ahead, Reverend.
All right. Thank you, Dahlia. Let me just commend you for this show and this opportunity to come on the show with you and your husband. Thank you for just working together in order to give other people a platform to speak and to publicize their work. So let me thank you for that. As you stated, I'm the pastor of the Unity Baptist Tabernacle in Mount Vernon, New York. We have a great congregation of people. We do a lot spiritually, try to uplift the people spiritually, but we also try to uplift the people communally in terms of the community, in terms of family. We are highly involved in social justice issues, and we're on the cutting edge of trying to make sure that people receive their just from God and what God has for them, as well as they're just from society, especially those who have been marginalized and just unhappy in their living and in their standard of living. And I know that you fight a lot for education, so we join in those areas of ministry. On another note, it's more about my separate publishing company that I've had for over, this is the 10th year, going into the 10th year in 2015. And in that time, we've developed websites, and we're working on two websites. This is the second book out of EA Rain Publishing, earainpublishing.com, if anybody wants to check out the various books that we have and that's coming. And we have two additional books that are coming, one based on my dissertation, which will be dealing with masculine theology, another one dealing with the men. And the various trials that they face. But this one is more about the just spiritual forces and spiritual uplift that hopefully we can provide to people who are battling against things in their lives. And everybody, as we're stating in the book, everybody's battling against something. I don't say with, because we believe that God gives us something to battle with against the forces that often come up against us. So that's basically how, if you want me to proceed, that we'll talk about the book.
Let's talk a little bit about, let's start with a title, Something to Battle With. You know, how did that title come to be, Reverend Maureen. How did that title come to be? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the title came to be actually out of a sermon that I probably did about 6 or 7 years ago. It dealt with a whole different subject matter from a sermon that I dealt with, and it was more talking about that God gives us, that we all need something to battle with when we're going through our trials and tribulations in life. I didn't anticipate that it would be a book at that time until I was actually dealing with some personal issues, and the title itself came back to me. And then I started putting it more during the Advent season, you know, the Christmas season, and when we get into the Lenten season, I started putting it more in a spiritual sense. And I've always dealt with that area of temptation from my last book, and how temptation is a force that strangles us into doing the wrong thing. Jesus was tempted. Everybody's tempted in one way or another. And so I put the something to battle with, and from the theological perspective, the temptation in there, and temptation became something that we're battling against, but God gives us something to battle with in order to deal with temptation. And so that's basically, it was some years ago that the title came up, but the book had nothing to do with the title at that time, but then the book became the title for this time.
Right. So it revealed itself to you slowly, you can say.
Absolutely. I mean, everything is evolutionary, and in this sense, it came, and it just was appropriate. And people who see the title now always ask that question: how did you come to that? But God was working on it a long time ago, and then it found itself in fruition in this book.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the five. It's five, right? The five tools, weapons, however you want to buy them, that you choose to go into battle with. And the first one, I want to know, are they in any particular order? You know, do you need faith before you can pray? Do you need prayer before you go to the scripture? Do you need scripture in order to meditate? Do you need to meditate before you can fast? You know, is it any kind of particular order?
I would definitely say that faith is primary to doing anything else. I mean, you need faith. If you're going to pray, you need faith. If you're going to read the scripture, you need faith. Meditation requires faith. And I say that in a book when I get to discussing faith. And I talk about faith, it being actual, faith being practical. Faith is an actual tool that we have to have in order to trust that God will work in our lives. And when we're battling against various forces such as temptation, we definitely have to believe that we can challenge it and that we can fight it and that we can win. So faith is a primary and subsequent and definite tool that's needed in order to battle anything that's coming up against us. And without it, there's nothing that you can't go forward, especially if you're talking about being a person of faith. Even when it comes time for reading the scripture, if you do not believe what you read in the scripture, if you do not believe that the scripture actually existed, there's no way you can proceed and say that I believe that God can and God will, because everything that you need to reference from is in the Bible. The same thing with meditation, the same thing with fasting. I mean, it's built upon a foundation of faith. The only way you're going to get through any challenge in life is that you have to keep faith. You have to believe. You have to believe that those challenges that you're facing is not the end of all. So when we do put it out there, whether or not it's in any particular order, I would say that primary to anything, prior to everything, that one must have faith in order to proceed with the other tools. And then, of course, you need prayer in your battle. And I talked to prayer, and it's been said before, prayer is a conversation with God. And prayer is necessary because when you're going into battle, you're going to need to talk to God. I mean, prayer is that tool that you use when you find yourself in temptation, that you will need to have that direct communication. It praying when you get up, praying when you go to sleep, praying when you're in battle. There's something about prayer that gives you energy, that gives you confidence, give you the esteem that you need in order to move forward. And sometimes, as I stated in here, and I want to preference this by stating that in this book we talk about real issues. I mean, some people try to skip the issues and think that it's just God book, but the spiritual aspect is one thing, but there are practical temptations, whether it be from people wanting to commit homicide or suicide, people who are plagued by hate and depression. All of these issues come into play in some way in this book. And so when we talk about faith, we're talking about believing, even when you're sick, that God can and God will help you to fight your battles with cancer. God will help you to fight your battle with depression. And all of that requires faith. And then we go through the line and talk about Scripture. Scripture is another potent tool that one needs in order to battle, because when you're coming up against the challenges and the forces of the world, you will need to be able to reference what God did through His Word and with other people, prophet, priests, or kings, in order to know that the same way God used those people is the same way that God can use you to fight your battle. And if you look at the whole Bible, really, it's all about battling, whether it be actual battles where people are fighting for territory, fighting for power, fighting their enemies, fighting their own sins and sicknesses. The whole Bible is about battles, and one has to be sure in their faith and sure in the Word in order to know that when it comes to our battles, these are not new battles. It may be new for us, but they're not alien to the history of the biblical text, nor to other people. Everybody is going to have something to battle against. I think one area that's often overlooked, particularly in the Christian church, I think other religions possibly look into areas of meditation more. And meditation is a big area, especially when it comes to David. David was a great meditator. I mean, really deep, going into deep concentration and placing one's attention on God in order to escape the battles of life. And what meditation does, it pulls you into another realm where you can communicate with God and find relief, find strength, and find escape from the daily battles that you're going through. And sometimes you have to withdraw from battle. And I think meditation is one of those areas, no matter what you're going through in life, whether it be bills coming at you constantly or whether it is you're plagued by alcoholism or trauma from the past, I think that if we really learn how to meditate, then we'll be able to escape those forces of disruption and be able to get us into a place where we can really commune with God on a deeper level. We want to be able to talk to God on a deeper level.
Reverend Moraine, I have to say that, and you just said it, that meditation as part of as one of the principles that the Christian church embraces is not something that you see a lot. No, so you're kind of embracing, a wider perspective, I think, in terms of putting this in as a practice that can really enhance the relationship with God and enhance the relationship with self, because typically you don't see this referenced in the Christian church at all.
Yeah, so and it's unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to commend you.
Thank you. But yeah, it's unfortunate that you don't. There have been other writers who wrote about it, and they've been able to talk about the need for it, but I don't think that it's something that particularly the Christian faith, and I'm not saying it's totally not. I just think that we don't emphasize it as much as we should, and it's something that really needs to be emphasized because it's a benefit. It's part of what Jesus and others did in the Bible. And then, of course, I move into fasting. And fasting, many Christians do do it at a time of the year, but I go into this thing where I have a 3-10-40-day fast. And I talk about the benefits of fasting. I talk about the necessity of fasting. I talk about the biblical reference to fasting. But the 3-day fast is where I speak about Esther in reference to the Bible and how 3-day fast is usually for a particular issue. if you're going through something in life and you know that you want God to change something in your life, you focus specifically on that issue, no other issue but that issue, and you fast for those 3 days like Esther did, and then you wait for God to answer you. Once you give it over to God in fasting, then you don't pick the issue back up anymore. Because what many of us do is that we fast, but we still have the issue. Fasting is supposed to take the issue away from you. It's supposed to show you that it's strengthening you, where you're no longer concentrating on the issue because you've turned it over to God. So you have you're gaining strength from your fasting. Many people see fasting more as giving up something rather than gaining something. And I mentioned this in the book. Fasting is actually gaining something. It's not giving up something. If we see it in a positive, then it will help. Right. So the three-day fast is basically talking about how you focus on a specific issue that's in your life and wait for God to answer. The 10-day fast is more about health and wellness. I don't think that we often, and we reference Daniel when we talk about this. Daniel, when Daniel fasted for 10 days as a result of being captive and not wanting to eat the king's food, the Bible said that he came out and he was healthier and he was stronger and looked better than all the rest of the servants. So the 10-day fast is basically dealing with health and wellness. I think we ought to do more as people of God and focusing on our health, focusing on the necessity of being healthy, those areas that we can give up, the meat, and we can give up the cakes and the candy and all that other stuff, and be able to see the benefits of not putting so much, you know, stuff into our bodies that really corrupts it and corrodes it. And the more healthier we can, be, and God would require it from us, that the more healthy we can be, the more effective we can be. So 10-day fast is basically focusing on health and wellness. And then finally is the 40-day fast. And 40-day fast is basically focusing on a lifestyle change. When you are willing to give up something in your life for 40 days, it's saying that I want to totally stop doing some of the things that I was doing. And I don't just reference it in terms of food. 40-day fast can be giving up television. 40-day fast can be giving up the computer, because certain things have dominated our lives to the extent where we don't control our lives anymore. So we need to remove ourselves from those things in order to, first of all, in order to hear from God and get closer to who we really are. Because if you allow these things to, in society, especially when it comes to technology these days, and I start the book off with Henry David Thoreau, who was a great theologian as well as a great activist, and how in 1863, he had to remove himself from society because he said it was becoming too enmeshed in society with all the foolishness that was going on. And the same thing that was happening then is the same thing that's happening now. Sometimes we get too wrapped up in this world of technology, of television, of food, and all this other stuff that we don't really find out who we are, and we don't really have time to communicate with God like we should. We need a cleansing. And a 40-day cleansing says that I need a whole lifestyle change. I need to stop cussing. If you if you curse too much and you need to really lifestyle change to stop cursing for enough time, if you stop it for 40 days, it means that after those 40 days, you should be effective in doing and becoming a new person. And I think when Jesus was a paradigm for a 40-day change, for a 40-day fast, to show that he was effective in battling against his enemy when he came up out of the wilderness. So those areas become very practical in terms of our spiritual guide with God and self, and becoming better people. And like I said, really the end of the book is all about how we can be happy in life. And the way to be happy is to start using tools that God has given us in order to be the people who we ought to be.
Right. You know, as I listen to you speak, I'm thinking about, you know, one of the focus of this program is about how do we become our better selves, right? Mm-hmm. How do we develop coping skills and better, healthier habits to become, you know, better persons in our lives. And,
right.
you know, I see the same kind of trajectory in your book where, you know, whether you are, you know, people who are, for example, affected by mental illness can mm-hmm. benefit from, you know, practicing in this way, you know, whether it's making change about the negative thoughts or making change about the negative habits, whether it's substance or prescription drugs or, you know, whatever it is that's plaguing you from a mental health perspective.
That's right.
And one of the things that's so really important, you know, as a mental health provider is that faith really does play a key role. If there's mm-hmm. someone who comes, you know, in to get mental health help and mental health help, and they are people of faith, then that's something that we have to embrace and bring into the treatment because it becomes so really critical, right? And so I think that, you know, just the way that you've laid it out, I see such a great correlation towards, you know, to how mental health treatment is applied, you know. I think that's really awesome. How can people get the book?
Well, the best way to get it, I mean, hopefully I have, they could go to the website, E.A. Rain Publishing. That's E.A., one word, E-A-R-A-I-N-E, publishing.com
mm-hmm.
or somethingtobattlewith.com. Either way, you should be able to get to the site, and you can order it on the site. I would hope that people, that's the best way to get it because you get an autographed copy of the book, and I'll send it directly to you. And if you're an organization, if you're, especially like yours, you work for an organization, and I usually give discount to organizations if they order bulk copies because it's really one of those books, and churches have used it and called me. It's really one of those books, especially for the Advent and the Lenten season, where people are trying to become their better selves. They are trying to get closer to God. They are trying to give up meat and all that other stuff. This is an opportunity to really dig into this book, read. And this one, the good thing about this book, I didn't make it too long. It, like I said, I started it. I think I wrote the book in about 2 months in order to put the whole thing together in about 2 months. And, of course, the editing and stuff comes like that. But I didn't want to make it too voluminous where people feel like, oh, gosh, I got a lot to read. No, the book is to the point. It has chapters, and it has on the end of it, if you don't like to read a whole lot, there's a devotional part of it. There's a pages of devotion at the end, and it highlights certain quotes from the book every day of the month from 31 days. You could just do the whole devotional, read day one, and then you can, it has a page number under day one where you can go back and read the rest of the page or the rest of the chapter if you want to. But every day in the book, there's a devotion at the back of the book that you could just use for your own strength, for your own battles, and whatever it is you're trying to do in life. But this is the greatest time to read this book because Advent season, where people are trying to say, I'm going into the new year, I need to give up some stuff, I need to get closer to God, I need to be the person who I ought to be. I've been running around, I've been playing around too long. I've been, you know, there comes a time where everybody has that eye opener, that spiritual awakening, where they say to themselves, you know what, I need to get closer. I need something. And this is a guide. Every book that I write, this is a guide. My last book, it was 287 pages. That may be a little bit too much for some people. But this book is about 100 pages altogether with an index. It has an index in the back of it. So you could just look up something that you may be battling with. It may be homicide. It may be worry. It may be fear. It may be anger. It may be bills. It may be fatigue. It may be laziness. And you can find it right here in this book.
Okay. So it's laid out.
E.A. Rain Publishing. Yeah.
In publishing. And it sounds like it's laid out in a really systematic way, in a really simple way, to encourage people to use it, you know, not just to read it and put it down, but to kind of use it, you know, to on your walk through life, you know, on your daily
right.
walk through life. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So that's really awesome. So the overall thing is about how to live happy, how
mm-hmm.
to achieve and attain what I think everybody's seeking in life, and is that idea of, you know, living every day to its fullest, Reverend
mm-hmm.
Mulrain. What do you want to say about that?
Well, listen, we don't have that long. We may think that we do at a certain age, but after you get a certain age, you start to realize, listen, I don't have that long, and I don't want to live miserable. I don't want to live hating anybody. I don't want to live unhappy. I want to be happy because God can, you can be happy here on earth. I think some Christians, and this probably the pie-in-the-sky ones who believe that, oh, when I get to heaven, I'll be happy. But that would mean that God was limited here on earth in dealing with our emotions. God can make us happy right here. If we follow God's rule, if we believe by faith, and we don't allow the challenges of life to overcome us, but we know that we can overcome them, I do believe that we can live this life happy. A happier person is better to be around than a miserable person. And nobody wants to be around misery. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be unhappy and I don't want to be miserable. I want to be around people who are happy, and I want to be around people who love life. And that's what this book is really all about. And if you're with God, I mean, of course we're going to have our challenges. Of course there are going to be days when we feel like we just can't get up from the bed and we just feel like we just can't make it. But overall, I do believe that God has given us tools in order to overcome certain things where we can be happy right here on earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can do it right here. So the overall purpose of this book, I use it in the back. I let people know that it's not money that makes us happy. Money probably can help. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal today that talks about how money can make you a little happier, make you feel a little better. But happiness really comes from within and the things that you can do for other people and how you can live your life, experiencing life, traveling, giving yourself away and helping somebody who's down. That's where happiness, that's the blossomness of happiness. So I do believe that, you know, what we have to start exhibiting as people of God, exhibiting happiness, let people know that it's good to walk around and know God.
Right, right. You know, I think that's a really good takeaway for us. It's a great takeaway, actually. You know, I like the idea, and it's an idea that I try to practice, you know, that it's about the now. It's about right now. What can you do right now to help your fellow man and to experience your best life? Because, like you said, tomorrow is not promised, and so all we have is right now. And how are we making the best of right now? So not being delayed, not delaying our happiness, thinking when we get to heaven or when we get thin or when we get rich or when something else happens, but what can we do right now to achieve, you know,
right,
happiness in our lives? Right. So, Reverend Moraine, it's really been a pleasure. It's really been eye-opening speaking with you and listening to you this evening.
Thank you.
You know, I really want to thank you for sharing your book with us, and, you know, just to let folks know that it's earain.com or somethingtobattlewith.com, and it's the latest book by Reverend Edward Moraine. Reverend Moraine, I want to thank you very much, and I hope to be visiting you again soon in church.
Thank you, and thank you, Raymond. You'll come back anytime.
Sure. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank
you. All right,
you
take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was very good. I listening to him go through and making it in some such practical, real-life terms, a lot of times I think people tune out from a religious perspective, but from a life perspective, I think it's very relevant and can be applied irrespective of faith.
Right. And I think the fact that he personalizes it so, you know,
yeah.
He didn't tell us exactly what his personal challenge was, but you know that, you know, it's authentic. It's
right.
An honest. I'm using this tool, or this came out of a personal experience where I myself was facing a challenge, and this is what got me through. And, you know, I think it's really awesome because I do believe that we all
mm-hmm.
face challenges.
Absolutely.
We all come upon a time when we need help, and we need help from a source greater than ourselves, you
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
And it's wonderful to, one, practice our faith. We have the scripture, meditation transcends religious boundaries, and of course fasting, you know, if you are able to do that and you desire to do that, you know, it can be helpful.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's awesome. So until next time.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com. And like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.